So let's come back to this gradient method with exact line search, exact gradient, in short. Okay? So I can give you a complete description of the algorithms in these terms. We start from some x0 in Rn, chosen some way. We set the iteration counter to 0. Okay. Then we check if the current point is stationary. So generic iteration xk, if the gradient of f at xk is 0, then we stop. Otherwise, we compute tk in this way. So we compute tk, which is the arg min of this search function. Let me write it in full. The arg min of f at xk plus tk, plus t times dk for positive t. Then we set xk plus 1 to be xk minus tk times the gradient of f at xk. This minus the gradient is the direction decay. And then we simply update the iteration counter and we go back to checking whether the new point is a stationary point or not. Okay? So this is a, let's say, a basic pseudocode for the algorithm. Okay? There are a few things unsaid. The first and the most relevant one is how to compute the gradient. Okay? But let's simply suppose we have some machinery that provides us the gradient. Okay? Actually, in the examples I will show you, I compute it by hand since the functions are simple. Okay? I can compute the formula for the gradient and I can provide it to the code. But in generally you need some libraries, some tools that compute the gradient of the function. Second thing, this is what mathematics tells you. I stop when the gradient is zero. Okay. From a practical point of view, you stop. This is unlikely to happen. You are computer scientists. You know, when you compute numbers, you won't get zero. Okay? You will get very small values. So you stop, for instance, as I told you before, when the norm of this vector is very small, okay? According to some threshold. I want to discuss you something more about the line search. Okay. Here, at the moment, I've been a little bit too far. Here, I've shown you, I told you, I take the minimum for t positive. Okay. Could the minimum actually be achieved at t equals zero? This is the question, this is the doubt, okay? T equals zero means I'm not moving away from the point. Okay, so, roughly speaking, since I got the same direction, okay, this cannot be. Because since this is the same direction, if T is small enough, I get a better value. Okay, so since decay the same direction, guarantees that phi k at t is smaller than phi k at zero.
Phi k at t is exactly this value, and phi k at zero is exactly this value whenever t is small enough. So zero is not the minimum point. Okay? You can rule t equals zero out. T equals zero does not provide the minimum of the search function unless you are at a stationary point. Okay? But if you are at a stationary point, since the direction we are taking is minus the gradient, okay, we don't even have a direction if the point is stationary. We stop. Also mathematically, we stop there. So first remark is this. The line search does not give you t equals zero as a result. Okay? By the very choice of the direction, you choose the same direction, you don't get t equals zero as the best step. So here I can write t greater than zero or t greater or equal than zero, it doesn't change. Okay? But I prefer to write t greater than zero, and then you'll understand this right now. I want to show you some properties of this algorithm. Okay? And the key tool is this search function. Okay? So, the current point is fixed, the direction is chosen, minus the gradient of f at the current point. So I'm just considering a hot line here. So xk is given. The direction, let's say minus the gradient, is given as well. This function is a function of a unique variable, t, and t greater or equal than 0, that describes this line. Here. Okay. So the search function is just considering the function on this line. Okay. And you use t as the unit measure. Okay. T equals 0, you are here, t equals 1, you are here, t equals 2, you are here, t equals 1 half, you are here, and so on. Okay? So, the search function is nothing else but your original function, f, evaluated only on this line. Okay? So suppose your function is from R2 to R. Okay, so the graph is three-dimensional. Okay, you take the domain is the plane, and here you have the graph. Okay, you take the line, you build the wall up there, you throw everything else away, and you're left with the graph of the function on this intersection. Okay, is a function of one variable. Okay, so here when I have this search function, I indeed have a function of a unique variable. So I can draw a picture the same way you were used to. So, this is t, and here on the y-axis you put the value of the function. At 0, the function takes value f at xk. okay? Just plug t equals 0 there. And then, it does something, okay? I know. Something like this. You should stop me now and say, no, this is not possible, because you've chosen a descent direction. So, at least at the beginning, the value of the function should go down. Okay? So that is the only, actually that is the only information you have. So, in the beginning, it goes down. And then, you don't know. It can do everything you have in your mind. Any function that goes, any, if f is any, the graph can, here the graph of the search function can be any, the only condition you have that it starts going down and then it can do whatever. Told you informally, but let me make it very formal. This is a descent algorithm. Okay, so f at xk plus 1, first property, f at xk plus 1 is smaller than f at xk. Okay? How do I prove it in a formal way? Well, I consider the search function, okay? By definition, pk at 0, which is f at xk, is greater or equal than pk at tk, because tk by its own choice is the minimum point of the search function. So this is by the definition of tk. Okay. Sorry. Okay. The way I've chosen it. This is the minimum point. This is any other. Is also. It's exactly another. And this is f computed at xk plus tk, tk, so xk plus 1. In that was just enough. No, no. So, I proved greater or equal, I want to prove greater, okay? The trick is to exploit the derivative of the search function, okay? The search function, now, here I get this, is a function that goes from R to R, so it might have a derivative, in the usual sense of function of one variable. But let's see how this is function. Actually, pk is, first I, so, make it this way. I take t, then I move to this point here. So I'm going from R to Rn, and then I compute the value of the function. Okay. So phi k is the composition of these two functions. First, I'm going from R to Rn, and once again from Rn to R. This is R. Okay? Let me call this H. Okay? So H of t is this vector here. Somehow it's the function that gives you the parametrization of this half line here. Okay? And phi is the composition of the two. Okay? In one of the very first lectures, the ones on calculus background, I gave you a result, which was stating, if all the components of H, from R to R, are have a derivative, and the function from F, from Rn to R, is differentiable, then the composition is has a derivative. And there is a formula for the derivative. So this is exactly the case. F is continuously differentiable by our basic assumption. H has the components of H have easily a derivative because their dependence on t is linear. Okay? I mean, the components of H are taking the component of xk, the i-th component, plus t times the component I of dk. Okay? When you take the derivative with respect to tk, what you are left is the corresponding component of dk. Okay? So, if I take the derivative here, I get dk component I. Okay? So, let me write it as a vector. The derivative of h at t is the vector dk. I'm writing dk just not to write every time minus the gradient. Okay? It's easier. And actually this is true even if dk is any other direction. So it doesn't make a change. And then look back at that formula. That formula is telling you that the derivative of the composition of t is the gradient of f computed at this point here, so at h of t, let me write it for times the vector whose components are the derivatives of the components of h. Okay? This is the formula I gave you. If we write it back, this is giving you the gradient of f at xk plus t times dk times, so the derivative here is dk. Okay? Now, let's also remember that this is minus the gradient, so if I can replace, this is minus this quantity here. Now, I've done all this job to tell you the following. We have the derivative of this t, and the derivative, let's compute the derivative at zero. The derivative at zero is achieved by putting zero here, so this is the gradient of f at xk times itself. So it is the square of the norm, and then you have the minus in front of it. Okay. Since xk is not a stationary point, otherwise we would have stopped, this quantity is negative. Okay? Because this is not the zero vector, so the norm is positive. With the minus in front of it, it's negative. So, the derivative at zero of the search function is negative. Refresh your mind. I have a function, and the derivative at that point is negative. It means that the function is decreasing, at least for a little bit. Okay, which means, so, that phi k at t is less than phi k at zero if t positive is small enough. But remember that at tk, by definition of tk, we are having the smallest value of the function, okay? So, this is an upper bound, so we have a point. Let's say this t small is let's say, 10 to the minus 2. At that point, the function has a smaller value than in 0, but in tk, you have the smallest value of all. Okay, so this cannot be equal. This has to be strictly greater. Okay, I tell it in Italian for a second. Questo è il punto di minimo. Okay, quindi se in qualche punto la funzione vale meno che in zero, al punto di minimo deve valere meno che in zero. I tell it also in English. Since tk is the minimum point, and at some point the function of the value is smaller than the value of the function at zero, at the minimum point the value is smaller than the value at zero. They cannot be equal. So this inequality that we have with greater or equal actually is greater. And so we prove that formally now that this is a Descartes method. Okay? Please keep in mind this formula here, because we are going to use it a number of times. This is the derivative of the search function. Okay? The derivative of the search function is the scalar product of the gradient, of the direction v, with the gradient of f computed at this point here, xk plus t times tk. Looks like you were going to ask a question. And I'm interested in this right now once again, because I want to prove you the convergence of this algorithm. Okay? And the convergence is straightforward once you understand this. Okay? It follows from this almost immediately. First, I'm showing you another property of the algorithm. So, it is a descent algorithm. Cool. All the algorithms we are going to build will be descent algorithms, and essentially based on this idea. The second property we are going to show you is the following. Take the gradient of f at the new point, xk plus 1, and take the gradient of f at xk. Okay? Make the scalar product of the two, you will get zero. Let me write it in a different way. The gradient at xk is minus dk. So let me write dk. and the gradient at xk plus 1 is the direction of the next step. Okay? Never mind about the minus, because then you have equal to 0, so the signs do not matter much. Okay? This property is taking the following. Two consecutive directions are orthogonal. Okay? Scalar product 0 means that the angle is 90 degrees between the two vectors. So it means that these two are orthogonal. Okay? It means that if at one iteration I'm moving from here to here, at the next one, I will move along this line here, which is orthogonal to the other one. Okay? So the new point will be here or here according to the sign of the gradient. Okay? Two successive iterations are given through orthogonal directions. Okay? Let's say the path I'm describing in the space is given by orthogonal movements, successive movements. How do I prove this? The proof of this is straightforward from this property. Tk minimizes this function over t greater than 0. Okay? It means over an open set, okay, on the open half line. So as I showed you when we discussed optimality condition, when you minimize over an open set, okay, it's like you don't have any constraints. At minimum point, the gradient is 0. Okay, even if the problem is has constraints, because you are in the interior of the region. So here in one variable, it means that at the minimum point, the derivative has to be 0. So, since tk is the minimum point, it must be that the derivative of the search function at tk is 0. Okay. And what is the derivative of the search function of tk? Here we have both versions, let's use this one, is minus the gradient of f at xk plus tk dk, which is xk plus 1, times the gradient of f at xk. The proof is done. Okay? It's just the optimality condition for the search function. The derivative has to be 0. Is it clear? For this, you also get the convergence result, the first basic convergence result. And the result states the following. If the sequence generated by the algorithm has a limit, if it has a limit, then the limit is a stationary point. Okay? And the proof is an immediate consequence of this. Okay? So, let me, so I don't need this, but I would like to keep it all the same. So, if the sequence SK has a limit, then X bar is a stationary quantum. How do we prove this? The proof is very easy, and so just to provide some information to the ones who ask me, are you going to ask for proofs at the exams? This is one of the proof which is easy to ask, because it's immediate. Once you know that the scalar product for the gradients is zero, you have the proof, because, okay, let's elaborate it. We have this property. The gradient at two successive points is zero. The scalar product of the gradient is zero. Then we know that xk goes to x bar by assumption. Xk as a limit x bar. But f is continuously differentiable. It means that the gradient is a continuous function. It means that when we take the limit, the limit value is the value of the function at the point. So here, if we take the limit, okay, this goes to gradient of f at x bar, and this goes to gradient of f at x bar. Okay? So the limit is the scalar product of the gradient of f at x bar with itself. Okay? So it is the square of the limit. Okay? But the sequence, this is a sequence of numbers, and the sequence is made by 0, 0, 0, 0, 0. All the elements of the sequence are 0. So the limit is 0. So the limit is 0, and at the same time is the norm of this vector. It means that the norm of this vector is 0. So by this you get that the norm of the gradient of f at x bar is 0, that is, the gradient is the 0 vector, because it is the unique vector whose norm is 0. Here you have the proof. Once you know that the gradients at two consecutive points are orthogonal, the proof is just taking the limit as xk, as k goes to plus infinity. Okay? So, the result is almost satisfactory, because if you remember at the beginning of the lecture, we are in the best case, we are almost in the best case. Okay? The limit of the sequence is a stationary point, but there's a but, and the but is this if. Okay? If the sequence has a limit, then the limit is a stationary point. Okay? I mean, a limit of the whole sequence, not a cluster point. Okay? Because this reason does not work for cluster points, because here you have two consecutive points. Okay? When you make the limit of subsequences, in the subsequence one point and the next one are not k and k plus 1, are a point at some, for some value, and another which might have a bigger index. Okay? The sequence here is the indexes are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. In a subsequence, the indexes might be 2, 5, 9, 100, and so on. So, two consecutive sub-indexes are not one the subsequent number, natural number. Okay. So, the argument does not apply to subsequences, does not apply to cluster quarks. A few remarks. So, these are first convergence results, our first properties. Almost satisfactory convergence result. We just have to be sure that the limit exists, which in practice, I told you, is what happens, but mathematically you have to suppose it. Okay? I will show you probably on Thursday that we can prove that also the weaker result for this algorithm without any if, I can prove you that any cluster point is a stationary point, okay, for the very same algorithm. It's a descent method, it's what we wanted. But the bad news lies here. Okay? Two consecutive directions are orthogonal. It means that we are moving somehow making a zigzag. Okay? My current point is here, and then I move here. The next, I will move this way. Okay? If this is the new point, I will move, let's say, this way. And then this way, and then might be this way, and then this, and this, this. I will never do something like moving this way. From here, I would never do something like this, because this angle is not 90 degrees. Okay, so this is somehow a zigzag effect. Okay, it means that you don't have much freedom. Okay, once you make the first choice, then you're almost done, because you can just move along orthogonal direction. This slows down in practice the convergence of the algorithm. Because suppose you are near to a stationary point. Let's say it is this one. Okay? And suppose I'm arriving from here. Okay? This is what is likely to happen. Okay? If I could choose a different direction, maybe I would do this in just one iteration. Okay? I will show you an example on Thursday on the computer at the beginning of the lecture. Second drawback, that's the last point of the lecture. Second drawback, this algorithm requires the computation of TK. Okay? If you forget about the difficulty of computing derivatives, all the difficulty of this algorithm lies here. In computing the exact line search step. Okay? Because this amounts to solving an optimization problem as well, even though it is a problem with just a unique variable, t. Okay? But it is an optimization problem as well. So here, at step 3, I'm always asking you to solve a slightly simpler optimization problem. Okay. Truth is that computing it, first of all, Unless you have a explicit formula, which in some cases is true, you have to do it numerically. So you need an algorithm to compute this step, okay? An optimization algorithm. And it could be time-consuming, okay? So it would be nicer to choose, to be able to choose the step size in an easier way, faster way, okay, which need less computation. There is one case in which this is not a problem at all, and this is the case of convex quadratic functions. So the case in which f has this usual form, 1 half x times qx plus b times x, eventually plus a constant value c, for a symmetric matrix q, and the vector b in R. Okay. We know that in this case the gradient of f at any point is qx plus b. Okay. Here you can compute the zero of the derivative explicitly. You can make the computation. The computation is on my lecture notes. And what you get is that Tk has this form. No, I'm doing it wrong. Yes. Shorter. I wrote here the gradient rather than writing all the expression. You can prove that this is the formula. Okay, you have a formula for it. It's on a lecture note, and maybe I'll show you at the beginning of the lecture on Thursday afternoon. Okay, so in the case of a convex quadratic function, you have a formula, so this computation is easy, okay? In general, you don't have a formula, you have to do it numerically, so a good idea could be, rather than doing exact search, let's try to approximate, to guess this value somehow, okay? To be satisfied with something which is not exact, but inexact, okay? Where inexact somehow stands for sufficient to get our result, approximated. Okay? So, this is the point we are going to start from on Thursday.